This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. Alaska U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski was the only Republican to vote no this week on President Trump's nominee to be Undersecretary of the Navy Hung Cao, was nonetheless confirmed Wednesday with 52 votes. A Murkowski spokesman says the senator respects Cao's military service, but, quote, has concerns about his past statements and conduct, unquote. Cao retired from the Navy as a captain and then ran twice for political office. His opposition to diversity in recruitment fits with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's war on wokeness. At a debate for U.S. Senate candidates in Virginia last year, Cao said the military needs to recruit what he called alpha males and alpha females, who are going to, quote, rip out their own guts, eat them, and ask for seconds, unquote. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan voted to confirm Cao. A high-profile lawsuit challenging a key part of Alaska's homeschool system moved ahead this week after an Anchorage judge denied a motion to dismiss the case. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports.
The lawsuit centers on what are known as correspondence school allotments. Those are cash payments to families who homeschool their kids in the state's public correspondence school system. They're meant to pay for things like lessons and supplies. Some parents also use them to pay for private school tuition. A group of parents sued the state in 2023, saying the use of allotments on private school tuition violates the state constitution. Article 7 bars state spending, quote, for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. At first, a judge ruled the whole allotment system was unconstitutional. That was later reversed by the state Supreme Court, which sent it back to a lower court for a closer look at how school districts allow allotments to be spent. Then, earlier this year, a group of correspondent school parents represented by the legal nonprofit Institute for Justice asked the lower court judge to dismiss the case. They argued allotments are a direct benefit to correspondent school families, not private schools. But in an 8-page order on Monday, Superior Court Judge Laura Hartz disagreed. She said the Supreme Court's decision requires a review of how allotments are actually spent in practice. The plaintiffs, the state, and the school districts added to the case following the Supreme Court ruling all argued against dismissing the case and said a final ruling would require more evidence. The ruling moves the case into the discovery phase, where attorneys for the parties will exchange evidence as they build a case for a possible trial. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
A Pennsylvania man allegedly used the stolen identities of seven Alaskans in an attempt to steal their permanent fund dividends in 2022. 33-year-old Adepoju Babatunde Salako got control of seven My Alaska accounts, which are used to file for the PFD, and changed their routing information from their bank accounts to accounts he controlled. That's according to a charging document and a plea agreement, which Salako has signed, both filed in federal court Tuesday. The charges say Salako also used what's called a virtual private network to make it appear as though six of the seven online PFD applications had come from Alaska. But one application came from an internet protocol address in Philadelphia, which Salako had used to log in to his personal email account. The alleged wire fraud occurred in January and February of 2022. The court filings list the Alaskans whose PFDs Salako allegedly tried to steal only by their initials. Prosecutors say the state of Alaska determined that all seven of the PFD applications were fraudulent and denied them. If Salako had been successful, he would have gotten nearly $23,000, according to the plea agreement. Tuesday was Orange Shirt Day, a day of remembrance for Indigenous children who were separated from their language, families, and culture and sent to residential schools across North America from the late 1800s well into the 20th century. In Juneau, a gathering focused on healing and togetherness. KTOO's Yvonne Crumery has the story.
At the Zach Gordon Youth Center, people wore orange shirts and came together to educate young people about the history of residential schools and to celebrate Alaska Native languages and cultures that thrive in spite of that history. There's drumming, dancing, and singing, and tables with crafts like beading or tea making. Hanuk Gum Godam Sol Naomi Lisk stands at a table with a bowl of medicine, Labrador tea, which is called Z'ik Shalchdin in Tlingit. Lisk is with Hatush Latish Coalition, a local nonprofit focused on healing. She said 26 members of her family were taken to the first and one of the most notorious residential schools in the United States, Carlisle Indian Industrial School in Pennsylvania. It's part of her family's history.
That's where my grandma's uncle escaped. That's over 3,000 miles away. He ran and he ran and he ran and he ran. And when he made it back to British Columbia, they hid him away at Grease Camp.
Akquan Elder Sikuni Fran Houston said her mother went to the Wrangell Institute as a child. It was a boarding school in Wrangell intended to assimilate Alaskan Native children into white culture. Years later, her family learned more about her time there.
We looked at my mother's report card. You know what was on there? It had nothing to do with reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, none of that. It was sewing, cleaning, cooking, washing clothes, being a housemaid. And if she didn't do that, she got punished. Speaking her language, she got punished.
Houston said she asked her mother for years why she didn't teach her the Tlingit language. Her mother told her she didn't want Houston to experience the violence that she did at school. And as Hichle'ish Lyle James prepared to lead a song with his drum in his hand, he said not every child made it back home. Many died at these schools from abuse and neglect, and the government lied to their families.
We know that there were many families who were told that their kids ran away. We don't know what happened to them. They disappeared. But in reality, they had passed away, and they didn't tell the truth.
James said Indigenous families are left with the loss of loved ones, and that can't be fixed. But gatherings like this, he said, help with building a path toward healing.
We're not forgetting where they're at, that their memory doesn't leave when they disappear. So Taskal Yahaya, it's gonna multiply like sand. Every time we sing, every time we talk about our history.
And as Lisk said, those efforts to erase language and culture didn't work. They're still singing. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery.
This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Kwayana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Genomchit coming up.